Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so excited that you have joined us today. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome, welcome to VFN Radio, and we're so glad that you're joining us.
Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today is Pat.
Hello.
And Chris.
Hey.
Hey, hey. My goodness. Well, it's so exciting to be with you guys every day. I love it.
Yes.
And to be with our VFN Radio listeners. I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is.
It is.
I know.
I just love looking at all those weird things you wear and stuff on your head.
Oh my goodness. Well, thank you. Thank you for, you know, acknowledging that you like
supporting
it.
Unknown teams.
Yeah. Like the Aints. But you know, I gotta get Eddie on. I gotta get Eddie on.
Yeah, we gotta get Eddie
Don't
back
worry.
On.
That's coming. That is coming. But I do want to welcome our new VFN Radio listeners, Lisa, Jerry, Glenda, Roland and Jackson, and Eva, Hannah, Keith, Tom, Terry, Donald, Jenny, David. Oh my goodness, every single day it is a pleasure for us to connect with you as you're connecting with us, and as we, you know, set out every day to encourage, to inspire, to educate. And we're excited about today's program. We're going to be talking today, my goodness, about drones. What is going on?
We're
talking about these drones.
Craziness.
This is serious. This is really, really serious. And it's kind of being ignored, but it's really coming to the forefront. We're going to be sharing a prophetic word by Chuck Pierce, which is going to be wonderful in the extra hour. You really don't want to miss that. And we have so much to share. This program, I'm telling you, today is going to be really, really just empowering for you. I don't know, guys, if you saw last night, I mean, we talked about it before in The Torch, how the Bible miniseries has just taken off.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really talking it up.
Man,
they got viewers. they're beating every program that's being played out there right now. I mean, the first night, they broke all the records. They led. Well, last night, I happened to be flipping the channels, and I saw the mini. I totally, you know, didn't realize it was playing. I thought it was like on a Sunday thing. I didn't realize
it was
playing.
Well, they replayed it during the week,
Oh, is that what they did? Okay.
They replayed it, yeah.
Oh, well, man, I tuned in exactly when Moses was parting the Red Sea. I was like, man, that is awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. And just to see the graphics and what they were able to do with technology, I'm like, dude, that is incredible. That is absolutely incredible. Saw the Egyptians all be taken down as they were trying to follow God's people out. I'm telling you, don't be trying to go after God's people. That's a dangerous
thing,
man.
You don't want to go that route.
Well, my goodness, don't put your mouth or your hands on the prophet, because it may not go well. It won't go well with you.
That's right.
And it's not going to be good. But speaking of the Bible and the miniseries and Moses and a Pharaoh, did you guys hear about the locust? The locust, not just in the Bible that affected Egypt, but not like a few days ago.
Oh, really?
There's a swarm of locusts, the New York Times is reporting, that's just been all over the place out there.
Where? Here in the States?
No. In Egypt. Egypt. And they actually flew into Israel. But according to research, the locusts had originated from the deserts of Sudan, then moved north in search of food, right? Mm-hmm. And Israel announced a locust alert on Monday. And they say after large swarms were spotted in the Cairo area. And you've got to see these pictures of these. I mean, they're huge. They're like little flying birds. I mean, they're huge. This is interesting. The Ministry of Agriculture set up a hotline for swarm sightings, okay? And by Tuesday, they say grasshoppers the size of small birds were reported on balconies and gardens and all throughout the central northern part of Israel. And what they said is that the largest concentration looked like this black cloud of millions that settled in Egypt. And I mean, this is like the eighth plague, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
That God sent towards Egypt to let God's people go. This is serious. Potato farmers, look at this. Potato farmers are actually complaining that their fields were being ruined. And drivers said they could not even see through their windshield for all the bugs flying in their direction. And so really, really, really interesting. On the upside, though, on the upside, people are eating and frying up locusts left and right over there because they are kosher in Israel. Locusts are kosher.
They're chowing down.
But they are eating them. But it makes you think. It makes you wonder. I mean, it just makes you wonder in the middle of Egypt going through what they're going through, in the middle of a dictator that's elected president but then just takes complete power, who is from the Muslim Brotherhood, who considers the United States his enemy, their enemies, yet we still give them,
we're giving them
16
weapons.
Fighter jets, 200 Abrams tanks, and, you know, about $1 billion to keep peace on the border. And from a president of Egypt who calls Israelis the descendants of apes and pigs. And supposedly are allegedly our country and our this administration is giving credit to Morsi for supposedly brokering a peace deal. And it's like, no, he just told his goons to get off of him.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
It's not, you know what I'm saying? That's not a peace deal.
All right.
And it's just interesting that, you know, God always has the final say. Just, you know, locusts, eighth plague, Egypt, Israel. Things that make you go,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I think we need to watch this closely. Watch this closely. Guys, I don't know if you know this, but in Arkansas, something pretty awesome just happened. They just adopted the most restrictive abortion law in the United States. It's just very, very interesting. I mean, you know that we have been speaking about abortion and the 50 million children that have been murdered in this country since 1973 after abortion was made legal in this country because of the court case Roe versus Wade, and you'll remember we did a few segments on VFN Radio. I encourage you to search the torch and write type the word in abortion in the corner, and you'll start seeing all of these highlights. One in particular, we're talking about who is Jane Roe. And we come to find out that that wasn't her real name. It was Norma McCorvey was her real name. That she actually never wound up having the abortion.
Right.
And that they basically used her case. They pushed it along. She didn't even know what happened. She found out that it was legalized like everyone else in the news. And after some time, she was saved. Radically, she gave her life to the Lord. They reached out to her. And believers did, and she gave her life to the Lord, and she was baptized on national television and has been a huge supporter of pro-life and the right to life. But this is interesting and very encouraging that the lawmakers, the Blaze is reporting, overrode a veto Wednesday, and gave the state the most restrictive abortion law in the country. A near ban on the procedure from the 12th week of pregnancy and onward.
Oh, wow.
And they're saying that this is definitely going to go to, you know, to court, and they're going to, you know, battle over it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the people that are for abortion rights, which is, let's just say, the killing of innocent babies, let's just say it the way it is and the way God sees it, okay? You know, of course, they're wanting to take it to court and to, you know, push it. The governor got all involved, and this is one of the lawmakers said, that not the governor nor anyone else other than the courts can determine if something is unconstitutional or constitutional. and that was a Western man. And because the governor got right in the middle of it, you know, mm-hmm. he just got right in the middle of it. And so it's just interesting. The nation is looking towards Arkansas, and it's very good that this happened. And you know what? Take it to the courts. Take it to the courts. Let's take it to the courts. Many, many, many believers are praying that this gets overturned. You know, in the Supreme Court, when you're looking at 50 million children since Roe versus Wade in 1973, and really more than that now with the morning after pill. This is just what we know of. This is the shedding of innocent blood. This is the shedding of innocent blood. This is a sacrifices that are being made, mm-hmm. if you will. And it's important. At one time, you know, if you calculate the populations of the United States and you take the least populated states of the 50, did you know that you can get up to 50 million by adding from the most least populated all the way up? You can get to 25 states. That's the population of half.
Oh, wow.
Half of the states in the United States.
Wow.
And you think about, you know, does it matter? You know, the sin has an effect. Well, even just look at what's happened with the economy. That's 50 million people today that are not even paying taxes or anything, you know, contributing. Mm-hmm. What about all the just wonderful things that we missed out on life in this country because 50 million people are not even here anymore?
That's right.
Because we just decided to get rid of them. Mm-hmm. It's time. It's time that we turn back. And you know what? In the statistics that we have here on the torch, you'll see that it's not even just, you know, the ones that don't know God that are having the abortions. Some of the highest percentage of abortions that are being done are being done by Christian women, who profess to be Christians.
Wow.
And it's like, this is not going to go well for us. This is not going to go well for us. We've got to turn back. I want to share with you a song that came out that's really moving. It's actually a rap song by this artist that I just happened to actually connect with over the phone. He's a believer, and we're going to get his short testimony. We're looking one day to have an interview real soon for him available for our VFN radio listeners on how he came to God and his whole testimony, which is pretty amazing. But I want you to listen to this rap song that he put together about the unborn child. Listen up.
New voice message, Tuesday, 8:59 p.m.
It's me. I just picked up a pregnancy test. It came out positive. Give me a call back when you get this message.
Message deleted.
Mommy, I'm only 5 weeks old, but I can feel my heart. The doctor says I'll see you in November, but we're still in March. And by the way, mommy, what the doctor says a lie. You don't have to worry, cause my body's developing just fine. So please tell daddy that he doesn't have to cry no more. Jesus finished with my brain, he's working on my spinal cord. Besides, not everything is always what it seems. Why you think that when you dream, you wake up, don't know what it means. So tell the world to give you space and just let you breathe. Remember, God loves you so much that he sent you me. Sometimes you gotta laugh it off and just let it be, like when you thought I was a girl and painted my new bedroom pink. I heard you cry when daddy's diamond bezeled ring slid it off your fingers and went right down that restroom sink. And you and daddy began to argue for the next 2 weeks, but I don't know what the problem is anymore, so I guess it's me.
This is your fault, I told you, but you just denied it.
Leave me alone, get out of my face, just be quiet.
I said birth control and you're like, no, we can do without it. And now
I'm pregnant, so what do you want me to do about it?
You're gonna go to the doctors and have them take it out.
No!
You crazy? We can't afford the payments that we're making now. Oh, this was meant to be.
What?
Why we've been going through it? Don't you get it? The wedding ring? You were supposed to lose.
Mommy, just think. All we got is 6 more months. I can't wait for you to hold me. Why you think I kick your stomach? You must be proud because the nurse keeps taking pictures of me. Please tell daddy that I love it every time he kiss your tummy. But lately, mommy, honestly, I've been feeling funny. Ever since you left your job, got fired just for stealing money. And daddy says the cost of parenting is really something. So I can't help but wonder, do you even really want me? But that's not all, because yesterday I heard you scream when daddy said he's leaving you and marriage was a worthless dream. He was a big meanie, he said a lot of hurtful things, but I still remember the one verse that you used to sing, that I'm your sunshine and nothing can take the sun away, and that I make you happy even when the skies are gray. But if I'm inside of you, then why do I feel miles away? Am I really in your womb?
or just swimming in my grave.
Victoria?
Yes?
I like your name.
Thank you.
The doctor will see you now. Please write this way.
I'm Dr. Ross. This will literally take half a second. I got your chart. Looks good. I just have some questions. So you're 3 months pregnant?
Yeah.
Well, it barely shows, and you left this part blank. Are you married?
No.
Now, are you sure you want to do this? Don't feel pressured.
Well.
Great, so next week, same time. It was a real pleasure. Yesterday, you were at the doctor's office, and I was forced to listen. I heard you tell him that you really can't afford his visits. You said a lot of things that kind of had me sort of tripping. Mama, I got a question. What is an abortion clinic? And why do you keep crying? What did I do to you? I think I get it now. You don't really want me, do you? I'll be good, I promise. Please let me just have a chance. I'll clean my room, I swear. You won't even have to ask. Wait a minute, mama, this just sound kinda silly. You don't want me, so you're gonna pay some guy to kill me? $500? Is that all I'm worth to you? What if grandma had this done before she ever gave birth to you? And let me guess, daddy's gonna help you pay for this. I'm sorry I'm an inconvenience, I'm just a waste of skin. I'ma be with Jesus, he'll find me a place to live. I pray for you, you pray too, that he'll wash away your sins.
I love you, mom. Everything's gonna be okay, okay? God has a plan for us. I know because he told me. He loves you, Mommy. He talks about you all the time. Smile because Jesus loves you.
Powerful. Powerful.
Wow.
Powerful. I mean, these rap lyrics were like, if it's the unborn child speaking.
Yeah.
You know, and the enemy will try to do everything to disassociate that there is a person there. Mm-hmm. You know, the Word of God says that, you know, God knit us in our mother's wombs, mm-hmm. you know, and from the foundations of the earth, God knew us. You know, before I was a believer, there's a lot of people that don't know. They don't understand about, you know, abortion rights. They don't know the full kind of spectrum of the truth. And before I knew God, you know, I didn't know. I just thought, well, hey, there's a right of a woman. Who has the, you know, the right to tell someone what to do? Mm-hmm. And until I gave my life to the Lord, my eyes were opened. I read God's word and God spoke to me and see it plainly that it's nobody has the right. Nobody has. It's not what you can do to your body. It's what you're doing to somebody else's body. There's a baby there. You know what I'm saying? There's a baby, and it's murder. No one has the right to take another person's life, the life that only God can give.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Only the life that God can give, and it's just powerful when we hear lyrics like that coming from that perspective, and we hear truth, especially too when you realize that the devil, you know, hates God's creation. He hates our guts, and he wants to eliminate as many of us as possible. Why? Because we're made in the image and the likeness of God. God's going to use us to advance his kingdom, and certainly he would want to take out as many as possible even before they even get a chance to know him. It's time. It's time as a nation, as a church, that we defend the unborn, and we stand for truth and we stand for God. I want to encourage you to listen to Is America Under Judgment? Go to VFNTV.com. I encourage you to listen. It's America Under Judgment. We'll be right back.
I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but
right.
You know, I don't know if you know Tom Landry. He was a coach for Dallas,
right? The Cowboys.
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, I know that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. He said, "You know, you have all these players, football players. For those that don't know, it's a football team, and." They want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay. So then they want to win the Super Bowl. And so, but he's the coach and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
To have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do
mm-hmm.
to have what they always wanted to have their entire life. Mm. And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo, I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know,
right,
or
right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great, I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know.
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, remain in him, spend time with him, mm-hmm. you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, mm-hmm. and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that, you know, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do, mm-hmm. what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man, mm-hmm. and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come mm-hmm. to pass, become the past.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ, that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this.
Mm.
But your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan for free, mm-hmm. and begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks.
Right.
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place. All that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved, just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. God, the creator of the universe, loves you. He has a plan for your life. He wants to walk with you and make his heart known to you. He wants to forgive you of where you failed and you made mistakes, where things came to an end and you think there's no hope. There's hope. There's hope in Jesus Christ. That God is wanting you to meet him. He's not far from you, but he had to make a way for you to get to him. And he did that through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, you've got to meet Father God. Jesus came for one reason. He came for this reason at all, to make the Father known. That's our ministry to you. We want to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. We shared a couple of our stories. We didn't share everything, but you know, the ones that we did share, we're just trying to tell you that we're just like you, you know, and maybe worse, you know, that we needed God, you know, that I was going the way of the world. I was lost. I looked for love in all the wrong places. I ended up on a dead end street, all those different things that, you know, you go through in your life. You run after, you know, wealth and things and geographical locations and people and all that. And it just ends with the same, probably worse, because now you have all these things that you went to that just left you high and dry and ashamed and all that. Let me tell you something. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. He's made a way that he can forgive you, cleanse you, and all of those wrongs and all that sin, he can totally take that away from you through his son, Jesus Christ. You got to meet him. Listen, he wants to know you. Are you ready to know him? You've got to meet him. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris. And we're just talking before the break about abortions and about how Arkansas, they just passed the most restrictive abortion law in the United States. And so I'm sure there is going to be some push back against this, but it's very, very encouraging. And we want to continue to pray and stand with everyone who is supporting the right to life, mm-hmm. the right to life. And we heard an amazing rap by the rep. I mean, was that not amazing?
That was powerful. That was just, I felt that.
Oh, yeah.
That's powerful lyrics.
It's like shredded my heart. You know, hearing it from that perspective, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, think about it. And how many young ladies or women that are just being told, oh, no, you know, and no one's talking to them about, there's a baby in there. You know, there is a baby. Think of it from the child's perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, your mom allowed you to be born.
Yeah. Right. That one lyric just rocked me when he said, what if grandma would have done the same thing to you? Thought the same thing or something like that.
Yeah,
effect.
That was it.
Amazing.
Wow.
Amazing. You know, actually, it kind of reminds me that a few days ago that a woman was in the news. A woman was having a child for a couple that couldn't conceive a child. And they found out in the medical reports that the child was going to be born with major medical issues. Oh, wow. So the family contacts the husband and wife contact the lady and say, listen, you know, we don't want this baby. We want you to have an abortion. We don't want this baby. We don't want you to deliver. We don't want it. And the woman that was having the baby for them, she was a surrogate. She says, no, I'm going to keep it. Then the couple offered her $10,000 to have an abortion. She refused to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. And she wound up fleeing, got her stuff and everything, and went to Michigan, where she, in Michigan, I believe the state, the rights are that she would be able to have still the rights to the, you know, of the baby. She did wind up giving the baby up for adoption, and the baby does have like a cleft lip, I believe you call it, and she does have some medical issues, but a wonderful woman adopted her, and they're raising her up and loving on her. Wow. And I thought, wow, that's so wonderful and so amazing. Here you go. At one point, someone's getting ready to end because it's not a perfect baby. What is a perfect baby? What is that? Mm. What's a perfect baby? It's not good. It's not right. It's not right. And kudos to that woman that said, no, I just will not do it. I will not end this child. I will not do it. And didn't settle, didn't sell out for 10 grand.
Good for her.
You know?
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely good for her. Well, in more God's news behind the news, we do want to talk about drones. I mean, we've talked about this before on VFN radio. And even now, there's more information that's surfacing, more news. A drone is basically an aircraft, an unmanned aircraft that can fly up to 25,000 feet in the air. And from there, some of these drones are equipped with weapons. They've been known to take out, we in our country have been known to take out people in other countries with drones flying over them and just taking them out. Mm-hmm. They also have the ability to take pictures at a resolution of like 8,000. It's just like amazing. It has laser points, and it's a tactic and a piece of weaponry that we've not had up to this point. I mean, technology has allowed us to get to this point. I mean, drones have been used to kill 70% of Al-Qaeda. 70%. And Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky has been on kind of the forefront. Him and other senators, I believe Ted Cruz from Texas, have been on the forefront of getting some definitive statements from this president as to, can these drones, will you definitively say that these drones will not be used on American soil to wipe out an American?
Right.
And you should hear some of these back and forth comments where it's just like they crack the door open and it's like, can you just say no? Why can't you say no? You know what I mean?
Right.
Here recently in New York, in the airport, there was a drone spotted at the airport. I want you to listen to this because, I want you to listen for yourself. And you tell me, you come to a conclusion. Listen up.
So here's a bit of a mystery now, an investigation underway into what a pilot saw flying only 3 miles from one of the world's busiest airports. A jumbo jet pilot claiming to see a black drone hovering outside his cockpit window as he was landing at JFK here in New York. Rick Leventhal is on that story live in our studio. That's pretty unusual.
It is indeed, Bill. In fact, the New York Post quotes one investigator saying in all his years at the airport, he can't remember anything like this. And investigators say even if it turns out to just be a hobbyist toy plane, it still raises serious concerns. It happened at 1:15 yesterday afternoon. The pilot of an Alitalia jetliner spotting what he described as a black drone unmanned aircraft hovering just 200 feet from his jet on his final approach to runway 31 right. According to the FAA, which is investigating, the pilot reported the sighting about 4 to 5 miles west of the airport at an altitude of roughly 1,500 feet, saying it looked like a, quote, black drone about a meter square with helicopter rotors on the corners. The aircraft did not take evasive action and landed safely, Bill.
Wow. So do investigators believe there was some sort of sinister motivation here at work, or do they know?
Well, it's possible. But, you know, any flying object could pose a danger to aircraft. We've seen what bird strikes can do. A drone could cause problems if it were sucked into an engine. The FAA referred us to its Model Aircraft Operating Standards written back in 1981. It allows for flying remote-controlled airplanes recreationally, but only up to 400 feet and within sight of the operator. And anyone flying a craft within 3 miles of an airport is required to notify the tower or FAA. The New York Post reports the Joint Terrorism Task Force is assisting with the investigation, trying to determine exactly what the object was, who owns it, and what their motivations were for flying it in the approach path of incoming jets. Now, based on conversations that I've had this morning with local and federal law enforcement, it doesn't appear to be terrorism-related, Bill, but we're going to have to wait a little while to find out for sure.
Unbelievable. I mean, a drone at the airport. Mm. I mean, I have flown in and out of these airports from LaGuardia, Newark, and they search every bit of you, okay? Yeah. But a drone that's flying in the airport doesn't get taken. Nobody knows where it came from, what it's doing there. And it's like, is this really happening? Well, Senator Rand Paul just ended a 13-hour filibuster. And it's one of the longest, not the longest, but it's on average, they say the filibuster lasts 10 hours. He did 13.
Yeah.
But he's you know, one of several lawmakers that are, you know, they're raising questions. They're raising the questions that really every concerned American should raise. And that is, what's the legal justification for launching drone strikes against Americans overseas? It's like, you know, let's talk about this. Let's get this to, you know, put it on the table. He also wrote a letter to the Attorney General, Eric Holder, and asked the Attorney General to, you know, give us some clear, definitive statements. Mm-hmm. I want you to listen to this.
Thank you. Now back to the Paul filibuster. Chief Congressional Correspondent Mike Emanuel tonight on the tactic and the strategy of filibuster as a political tool.
I rise today to begin to filibuster John Brennan's nomination for the CIA.
And with that, Rand Paul slammed on the brakes in the Senate. Paul said he was challenging the constitutionality of drone attacks on Americans here in the U.S.
I cannot sit at my desk quietly and let the president say that he will kill Americans on American soil who are not actively attacking a country.
The Kentucky Republican said it wasn't anything personal about John Brennan or President Obama. It was about principle.
Were this a Republican president, I'd be here saying exactly the same thing. No one person, no one politician should be allowed to judge the guilt, to charge an individual, to judge the guilt of an individual, and to execute an individual. It goes against everything that we fundamentally believe in our country.
Paul says he was not satisfied by the responses he has received from Attorney General Eric Holder and Brennan on this topic. So he implemented a tactic used in the past, made famous in the film Mr. Smith goes to Washington, but used most recently by Vermont's Bernie Sanders, who objected to an $858 billion tax bill in December 2010 and held the floor for more than 8.5 hours. The effort also raises Paul's profile with conservatives as he considers a run for president in 2016. Today, Paul demanded answers.
I will speak today until the president responds and says, no, we won't kill Americans in cafes. No, we won't kill you at home in your bed at night. No, we won't drop bombs on restaurants. Is that so hard?
Last month, President Obama tried to address some of these concerns.
We respect and have a whole bunch of safeguards in terms of how we conduct counterterrorism.
And here's the deal. Here's the deal. I mean, they're saying with imminent threat, there's a terrorist overseas. That's fine, mm-hmm. You know, but what about the constitutional rights?
All right, exactly.
You know, and even if there's not an imminent threat, it could be a terrorist. It could be a terrorist that we've known that's plotting something, but should one man have the ability to play judge, trial? You know, there's a constitutionality here.
Yeah.
There are issues here. Not to mention that these drones, and this is interesting, the Blaze is reporting this, the drones, they have the capability, and we talked about this earlier, not only to take pictures, but they have the capability of intercepting electronic communication and identifying a person on the ground and even to evaluate if they're armed or not armed.
Oh, wow.
It's like the fourth your Fourth Amendment right is your right to privacy and to and of the protection of illegal search and seizure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a process involved in order for you to be searched. It's called getting a search warrant.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Getting a search warrant. There is a process there, and if that can be bypassed by a plane, a little helicopter, remote control. That's flying over you and is able to know if you're armed or not armed.
Mm.
And you know, it's important, and it's important that everyone gets involved and understands exactly what is happening. You know, one of the things that's being said is that they're being used, you know, on during the border patrols. Mm. And you know, they're being used, they're getting pictures and all this type of stuff. But what we have to look at is that at what point does someone determine whether it's going to be used, you know, on an American? And what Rand Paul was doing, he was filibustering the nomination, CIA nomination of John Brennan, who supports the president's drone policy. You know, allegedly, one of the spokesmen, Robert Gibbs, for the president, Jay Carney is the spokesman now, was said, he himself said he was told never to bring up the drone policy. Don't ever bring it up. It doesn't exist.
Oh, wow.
Don't even bring it up. And now this has come to the forefront, and it's really important. You know, two people that the two groups that are concerned and really should be every citizens are those supporters of the Second Amendment that say no one has a right to fly over me to determine whether I'm armed or not armed. And secondly, privacy. Folks that are concerned about their privacy, which should be everybody,
mm-hmm.
that you shouldn't be searching me or looking or taking pictures. And it needs to be definitive in the fact that there wasn't a clear-cut, answer right from the beginning. Eric Holder, and I'm trying to find his exact quote, but I guess here it is. It says, it's possible. Here it is. Says Holder did not entirely rule out that such a scenario may occur in the future and indicated that such a strike would be legal under Constitution. And what he was talking about here is that Eric Holder says, and this is the Attorney General says, that the U.S. has never carried out a drone strike against one of its citizens on American soil and called the situation such as a strike may occur entirely hypothetical or unlikely to occur.
Yeah,
the
right.
question is it constitutional?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
So he says, and this is Fox directly quoting him, it is possible, I suppose, to imagine an extraordinary circumstance in which it would be necessary and appropriate under the Constitution and and applicable laws of the United States for the president to authorize the military use of lethal force within the territory of the United States. And it's like, they're not going to stop. So, you know, this filibuster went, it stopped, but this is not going to end. This is not going to end. Drones used to spy on Americans, and it's, we don't know if it's, it has been done. You know, we're just saying that this would not be good for the citizens of the United States. We have to protect the constitutional rights of every single citizen. We'll be right back.
You know, it's been, you know, I've been serving the Lord for some time now. I guess it's 1986 when I had just God called my name. You can find out more about that at meetmyfather.org, where I share my testimony. I was a deputy on the streets. But it's amazing. The more you walk with people and you walk with the Lord, and it's like some people are just like seasonal. They're like they're on fire for God, you know, and they're saying they're ready to go after God. But, you know, after 5 years or maybe 10, but normally five, you know, I know that others, you know, have said, you know, around 5 years or something, you know, we get tempted to just kind of lay back and just kind of, you know, coast if you could. And really, I believe that you're never sitting still. You're either going back or going forward. There's no sitting still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we're supposed to, so people look at you shocked when they go, you're still preaching the gospel? Yes. Why would you ever change? We're going to see the Lord. I mean, every second of life we have left, you know, we're not going to, we want to do everything we can for him because he laid down his life for us. And we'll spend eternity pondering why we wasted one moment on anything else but him, because we'll have eternity to think about these few years that we have. You know, I think about Steve Hill. Remember when Steve Hill was talking about that, and he was talking about people coming up to him as well and saying, you know, they're talking about laying back. It's not time to lay back. It's time to lean forward. Listen to Steve. I'll be right back.
They say, people come up and say, you haven't changed. You haven't changed. It's because that seed, if it's an apple seed, that's going to produce an apple, okay? And Steve Hill, and I can see Peter Wagner, is not going to get out there and in midstream go, you know something, this has been good.
No.
It's been good, but there's a whole different avenue, and there's a whole different teaching that's coming down the pike, and I want to be a part of that.
Listen, you know, religion is hard. But like Steve is saying, it's not time to sit back and just and pause and say, I'm not going to do anything. It's time to quit being religious and do it in a way that's just natural. And let's enjoy this thing called the kingdom of God. Let's enjoy each other. Let's be family and love each other, love God, and lead other people to love God. It's not as hard as religion. You can't keep on carrying on a huge, you know, big traditional thing and physically sustain that. But you can just love people and love God and lead others the same. It's not that complicated, is it?
Right. No.
If that's you, if you wanted to continue, you know, you thought about giving up, you thought about saying, hey, I'm just rest on what I've done, or you're thinking maybe that you're beyond use in your life, you are not. As long as you have breath, as long as you love God, as long as you love others, listen, you know, you are a servant of God. You're a minister of God. Everybody is called to minister. Maybe you're called to relate to us. Or another network, maybe Chase Network or another network. But find out more at Vine Fellowship Network. That's VFNFamily.org. VFN, that's a V as in Victor, VFNFamily.org. You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire 2-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today is Pat and Chris, and we're just talking about drones. If you missed it, you want to catch the highlights today, you can catch them on The Torch by going to VFNTV.com, or you can always catch them on the app. Download the app today and share it with a friend. Guys, have you noticed, have you ever wondered or heard someone say, that they have a high tolerance for something?
You know, oh, yeah.
Like for pain,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Drugs, medication.
Yeah.
Right. Even like people say alcohol, you know.
Right. Right.
So high tolerance. What they're really saying is that they're able to go through a lot of whatever that thing is
mm-hmm.
without it having an effect on them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or stopping them. Well, I got to thinking about this. Right now, there is a high tolerance for sin in the land. There's a high tolerance for sin in the land. I mean, to talk about sin is one of the most unpopular messages today.
Right.
Don't talk about sin. You can talk about anything else.
Just be pointing out my 90, stuff.
90 ways to a better you, but don't bring up the sin thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yet, it's one of the most important things to address.
Exactly.
I mean, if you can't deal with the sin issue, there's nothing else you can deal with that really matters. You know what I mean? Like all this other extra stuff here doesn't matter if you don't deal with you know, the main thing. You gotta let the main thing be the main thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people often talk about the problems that we're facing in the world, you know, and there's a whole bunch of problems, you know, the economy, saving the planet from global warming, right?
Yeah.
We have an obesity problem. Don't forget we got to save the whales. Save the whales. You know, we have a drug and a drug problem and a poverty problem. And these are all legitimate problems, you know, except for the global warming thing, right?
Right.
These are all, you know, there are problems. But you can go on and on talking about all the problems, but who's talking about the sin problem? I mean, we're facing a serious problem, and if we don't each individually reckon with the sin issue, mm-hmm. right, it could damn our souls to hell.
Yeah,
this is a reality. This is for real. And you think about all the problems that people face today, and what the world is facing. Many of them are rooted in sin.
That's right.
A great, great, great majority. When you think about to tolerate, that word means to accommodate oneself, get comfortable. It means to accept, to permit, to allow the presence of.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at toleration and you look at sin, my goodness, there has been a whole lot of toleration of sin.
Oh, yeah.
And yesterday we were talking about, And if you missed yesterday's program, be sure to catch it, of course, on the Torch. But yesterday we were talking about people get ready. Jesus is coming. Mm. And we talked about the day the Lord returns and how it's going to come like a flash, you know, a flash of lightning, like a thief in the night, unexpectedly. And we need to be ready. And 2 Peter tells us that in the last days, that they're going to be scoffers and mockers. I mean, scoffers and mockers jeering, you know, where is this coming, he promised. Don't be fooled. He is coming.
Oh, yeah.
And in verse 8 of 2 Peter 3, verse 8 says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends, that with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. And the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And sometimes, because people don't see an immediate ramification for the sin in their life or what's happening, they guess I got away with it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, don't misconstrue here. Don't misunderstand the immediate ramification for God's winking at it. He's giving you time.
Yeah.
He's giving you time to recognize and realize, I got to get this out of my life. I got to get this out of my life. And the word says that it's going to come like a thief, right?
Yeah.
That the heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done with it will be laid bare. So the question is then, how are we to live? How ought we to live in view of knowing that the Lord can come back at any moment? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How ought we to live? And in verse 11, Peter tells us, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed his coming. We should live holy, separate lives to God. And you know something is wrong. I mean, how do you know if you have a toleration of sin? How do you know if this is evident? Well, you know something's wrong when people freely tolerate what Jesus died and gave up his life for. But I think something is wrong. You know that you have a tolerance for sin when you laugh at something that Jesus would weep over. It's tolerance. You know that you have a tolerance for sin when what used to make you quick to repent doesn't even faze you anymore. You know when you have a high tolerance for sin when you can pray to the Lord day in and day out without the slightest prayer of repentance and the asking for forgiveness.
Wow.
Just, Lord, give me more. Give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more, give me more.
Bless me.
Bless me one more time, please. You know you have a tolerance of sin. So how do you know you have a tolerance? How do you know you have a tolerance? You know you have a tolerance of sin when you have lost the sensitivity to the Holy Spirit's conviction. There's no sensitivity. Doesn't hurt you anymore. You can hear people curse the Lord's name in vain, and it does absolutely nothing to you.
Nothing.
You know you have a tolerance of sin in your life when bad doesn't seem that bad anymore. It's just not that bad anymore. You know you have a tolerance of sin when the things that would offend Jesus don't even offend you. We're talking about, how can you know you have a tolerance of sin? You know you have a tolerance of sin when you lack complete appetite and don't even want to open the Word of God. Mm. And the thing about sin is that sin is deadly. I mean, sin put Jesus on the cross. And we have to get real with sin. We have to get real. It's not your friend. It's your enemy. Sin is anything Jesus wouldn't do. And what are the results from sin? I mean, sin will separate you from God. Sin hurts the Lord. Sin puts you on the side of the devil and the demons. Sin stops the anointing. Sin steals your confidence in God. Sin hurts others. Sin leads to bondage and being bound. Sin enslaves. Sin steals your passion for God. And sin shames the sinner. The truth is it's time to turn back to God. It's time to confess the things that we've been tolerating. David said that I've sinned against you and you alone, God. The greatest sin today is to try to live a life apart from having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Jesus is still, right? Pat, Chris, Jesus is still the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Yeah.
He's still the Lamb of God. And Jesus dealt with the sin issue on the cross.
That's right.
When he died for our sins. The only way we will ever have right standing with God is when we confess our sins, repent, and accept Jesus into our lives. He paid the price for us. But if we don't accept his payment, we have to pay.
Right.
And we will pay with our lives in eternity. It's time to settle this in your heart, in our hearts, once and for all, that you don't want to have a tolerance for sin in your life, and that you want to have a relationship. You want to guard your relationship. If you don't know God, sin is separating you from knowing him. You can repent of it. But maybe you've known God and little foxes are coming in to spoil the vine. Little things become big things. Mm-hmm. When you start winking at little things, trust me, they'll become bigger and bigger. It's time to say, I am not going to tolerate this in my life anymore. And I'm going to turn from it. And I'm going to ask God to empower me. And when you cry out to God and you ask the Lord to forgive you, God will forgive you. Ask the Lord to help you, and he will help you. But we've got to get the sin out. We've got to get the sin out. Zero tolerance.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.